turn with me to the 14th chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 4. Picture of salvation here in these verses, in the first 20 verses of Genesis 4. And it came to pass, reading the first 20 verses, and it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Elasar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that they made war with Bera, king of Sodom, Birsha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Edom, Shimeber, king of Zeboam, and king of Bela, that is Zoar. All these joined together in the valley of Siddim, that is the Salt Sea. 12 years they served Chedorlaomer, and in the 13th year they rebelled. In the 14th year, Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him came and attacked the Rephaim in Ashtaroth, Carnaim, the Zuzim in Ham, the Emim in Sheba, Kiriathaim, and the Horites in the mountain of Seir, as far as El Paran, which is by the wilderness. Then they turned back and came to En Shapeth, that is Kadesh, and attacked all the country of the Amalekites, also the Amorites who dwell in Hazazon Tamar. And the king of Sodom, the king of Gomorrah, the king of Admah, the king of Zeboam, and the king of Bela, that is Zoar, went out and joined together in battle in the valley of Siddim against Chedorlaomer, king of Edom, Tidal, king of nations, Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar. Four nations against five, four kings against five. Now the valley of Siddim was full of asphalt pits. And the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled. Some fell there, and the remainder fled to the mountains. Then they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their provisions and went their way. They also took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods and departed. Then one who had escaped came and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner, and they were allies with Abram. Now when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house and went in pursuit as far as Dan. He divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods, as well as the women and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Sheba, that is the king's valley, after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hands." And he gave him a tithe of all. And he goes on from there. Okay. So the outlay here for this that's useful for us is, first of all, that we notice that there is a backdrop of judgment, you can't have salvation without judgment. The beginning of this is tedious, But the beginning of that is destruction. It was total destruction. Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities of the plain, were taken in their entirety. There was no nothing but defeat and destruction. And Lot was taken in. That was kind of like the afterthought in the statement. All these kings met together, and Sodom and Gomorrah were defeated utterly, and all of their goods were taken with Lot. The parallel statement that is useful for us is in 2 Peter 2:9. It says, "And the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment." It's just like there's devastation. And the godly are here and they are going off in with the total defeat. And what can be done? Nothing can be done. It's just destruction and devastation and judgment. So destruction was complete. There's not some caveat given to the statement of destruction. It's not like, well, all of these cities are taken, and there's some hole in the destruction. No, the destruction was total. There was no exception to the destruction. Let me give you two parallel statements to that, that we see how it is that God is dealing. Here's Romans 1:18. We know this statement. "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." So here's this, the wrath of God is being poured out in totality against the ungodliness of men. There's no exception here. Or notice the statement of Jonah. Under God's direction, Jonah in Nineveh, he says, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Now, there's not some exception clause or if statement that gives some loophole. Jonah doesn't say, "Well, there's judgment unless." It's this wrath of God is announced. And we see here in pictorial form with the results of this warfare. It's a picture of the wrath of God. And everything is taken, including Lot. So just as Jonah doesn't say, "Well, unless you repent," right? The loophole is not announced by Jonah. You remember that? If you remember reading Jonah. There's no loophole announced by Jonah. Just as there's no seeming exit for all of these goods and people coming out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot's just taken away. It's total destruction. And so we have destruction announced, so to speak. And that's how the gospel comes. As the apostle says in Romans 5, it says, "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for ungodly." while we were yet sinners. It's like Lot has been taken away. He's destruction is announced. Destruction is here. And yet God plucks sinners out of the midst of destruction. So there is an amazing result, and that is kind of the picture here in Genesis, and certainly the picture in general in the scriptures with regard to salvation. He says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is total destruction announced, and yet, in the midst of total destruction, there is this amazing result, and that is the picture that's given throughout the scriptures and right here, especially in Genesis. So we have this miraculous salvation. You got 300 people, you got five kings, and they destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plague. Cart them off wholesale. And then what? Abraham hears of it, and he's got 300 people. What are 300 people against these massive armies? We're expected to say, really? That's the expected response. But Abraham here is the forerunner of Christ. There is this incredible. So remember, God made a covenant with Abraham for salvation. And here he is the picture now of the Savior. And he goes and he delivers Lot. So God has already said in Genesis chapter 12, in you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And that, the Apostle Paul quotes that. And that phrase is repeated in God's dealings with Abraham. The Apostle Paul quotes that in Galatians chapter 3 and says, this is the gospel. It was preached to Abraham there, and that's the gospel. And so Abraham is a not only a picture, a forerunner, the covenant is made here that's a picture of Christ for us. And so here goes Abraham. I don't think I would want to be in Abraham's shoes with these few people going after those great armies. But here he goes. And that, of course, is the Lord Jesus. He's sent as one man, and he is in lieu of all of his people. And in the meantime, he, of course, dies for his people. But Abraham is sent, and there is this miracle, and those nations are wiped out. There is this unexpected, miraculous salvation. Unexpected, miraculous salvation. You know, we have this 2,000-year history of God sent his son into the world. We need to have this reminder that it is unexpected, miraculous salvation. And Abram is a picture of that for us. How can 300 men go and conquer an army like that and completely deliver Abram's nephew Lot and all of his people, his family, and his goods and bring them back intact? That's what God does to us. And unexpected. How can that be? It's miraculous. How can that be? And it's salvation. It is a total deliverance. He goes after and he saves. He conquers their enemies. That is what the Lord Jesus does. He is king and priest to us. He conquers all our enemies on our behalf. sin is the first of our enemies, and he conquers sin for us. And in the midst of the marvel of that, then, there is this, he's coming back with Lot and all this stuff. And here is another picture of the Lord Jesus in the person of Melchizedek, the king of Jerusalem. We think it's Jerusalem, it says Salem. And that is quoted then in Hebrews. Another picture of the Lord Jesus and a picture of the Lord's Supper, right? He gives him, he greets him with bread and wine. So it's an unexpected celebration. Salvation has been accomplished. Let's note its miraculous nature. Let's stand in awe. Let's rejoice in that which God has accomplished on our behalf. And that's, of course, what we have here. The accomplishment is real in the person of Christ on the cross. It was accomplished by a plan of God in the person of his Son in real time 2,000 years ago. You and I didn't plan it or accomplish it, but we do celebrate it. We do celebrate it. We are the recipients of it. It's like we are Lot come back and we say, wow. And so we get to kind of stop and say, this is amazing. There is a time to say, fresh from the battle, so to speak, from the dust of battle, from the difficulty of day-to-day, of slogging it out, to stop and say, that is amazing. The power that God has put forth to save me, I can celebrate. And it says that he will continue that for me. So there's a time to come aside. In the New Testament, there were miraculous marks of the place and time where the Lord Jesus was going to celebrate the Lord's Supper with his disciples. Why? Because it needed to be marked. It needed to be a place where a real event could occur. And so the Lord's Supper is that for us. It's the salvation had already occurred in here with Abram. The salvation had not yet occurred with the first Lord's Supper, but there is a contemplation of that which God is doing in his Son. And he says, do this in remembrance. Stop. Celebrate the miracle that you are a part of. You have been saved by an unexpected miracle. And this is our celebration. Melchizedek brought out bread and wine. The key for us is that we see this in the flow of life. There were great events that preceded this in terms of sin and salvation. But what we see here
is that God has, in putting forth the power as he has for salvation, he has reached into everyday life. Lot is now safe. Lot was a prisoner. Lot was destined for slavery for the rest of his life. Lot is now free. It's worthy of a time to say, wow. And that's what this is. Now, it's certainly more than that, but it is that. The Lord Jesus said, remember. What do we remember? We remember that which is. What is salvation? It is a miraculous deliverance. God is putting forth power to deliver you and me. And we receive that again here. And we say, that which he has done, he will continue to do. And we have great reason to be confident for the future.